leave.
I'm recovering, and my name is Sheila. First and foremost, I give thanks to God for another day of life and the program of Narcotics Anonymous for showing me how to live this new way of life, even against my will some days. For that, I'm eternally grateful. I want to welcome the newcomer to Narcotics Anonymous or anybody just coming back off of an experiment. You know, because that's what they said it was. I don't know. That ain't my story, you know. I want to welcome you to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. This may be a convention, and it's a big meeting and all that kind of stuff, but I don't ever want to forget that the newcomer is the most important person in the room. You understand? And I understand, like, just for the day, I'm going to be real selfish. I'm right about now feeling like the most important person in this room. I was sitting there. I want to thank Dutch. Oh, man, I love Dutch so much. God always gives you what you need when you need it. And I believe that. But listen, before we go, there was this little piece of paper on the table I said I wasn't going to read. I still ain't going to read it. You know, but, you know, and anybody knows me know, I pretty much kind of just let God have his way. And I am definitely praying that he has his way right now. Move me out the way and help me carry a clear message on We Do Recover, my favorite chapter in the basic text, because that's the truth. But what the literature says, you know, the pastor says that, you know, we don't dwell excessively on our active addiction or war story, but the traditions tell us that we need to give the newer members something to identify with, and not just the newer member, because on any given day, I can have an attitude of indifference and know that I need to hear some things about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I went into treatment January 23rd, 1993, about 90 pounds soaking wet. With no hopes, no dreams, no self-worth, no self-respect, no self-dignity, no self-love, nothing but self-hatred. And I did not go into treatment because I wanted to stop getting high. I love getting high. I ain't know nothing about slowly committing suicide and all that old, you know. That was all that stuff y'all had in that book. I ain't find out none of that until I got here. You know, I was catching hell and calling it fun. You know, I went into treatment because I wanted to stop hurting. Because I was angry with God that he would continue to let me live out this groundhog syndrome every day of waking up trying to figure out how I'm going to get one more. Because I don't know about y'all. So, you know, newcomers, you know, I'm from the greater Philadelphia region. You know, I won't be saying that no more, so I hope you grabbed it, right? Yeah, really, right? Because some days I forget where I'm from. And you know, newcomers coming to me, and they got like 30 days. They got on gold chains, and, you know, they got hair, and all this old weed, you know, to weave or not to weave. It's on you. I'm all right with it. You understand? But they coming to me, and then they smile, and they got a boo on their hip and all, and I be like, what they smoke? Because at the end of the road, for me, there was nothing left worth $5 in my apartment. Because I had sold everything, and I came in here with an attitude of indifference of better than. And I went into treatment. I went in there because I wanted to stop hurting from that. And what I learned in treatment, if you want to stop using drugs, you want to stop hurting, you got to stop using drugs first. Now, you can dance around it. You can try to figure out how you can smoke a joint and not pick up cocaine. You can try to go to the office parties and stuff like that and take champagne in a cute glass with an umbrella and all that. Listen, if you're in here, you have abused your privileges, okay? You can't do nothing. We can't smoke a joint. We can't even smoke the roach. I know some of us forgot. You know the roach. You know when your fingers get old. Okay, I'm the only one that's 48 and remember the roach. Had the little silver clip that you had on. You was a baller if you had a clip to hold it with, you know. And one of the things I found out in treatment, that I had to stop using drugs first. But now that I've been clean and recovering, with no relapse in my story, for over 14 and a half years, I understand if you want to stop hurting in other areas, you got to stop using other things, which are using those old ideas and attitudes that lead you back to old behavior that the book said. The book said, not Sheila. The book say, you don't believe me? Look, basic text, first step, bottom, right-hand side of the page. We must completely change our old ways of thinking or go back to using drugs. It said completely. It didn't say a little bit. You know, like, you know, one of the four steps I did gave God some of my stuff. Couldn't figure out why I was always in turmoil. Sponsor said completely. Look it up. That means 100% entirely giving it to him. So a day at a time, I have not had a problem And I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to be apologetic. Staying clean has not been hard for me. Because all you got, baby, listen, all you got to do is remember where you came from. I'm the girl that did Skits Patrol in a room that I never even got high in. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all came here with some cute stuff, you know. Y'all was doing sheetrock and all that. Sheetrock? I would have been fortunate to smoke sheetrock. It was lint, cotton, chalk. You understand what I'm saying? It was the resi from 2 weeks ago. You know, run out of matches, you at the stove, swing, hover, you. I'm the only one. It's okay. I ain't mad. Listen, my story has kept me here. So if I'm the only one who identified with my story, I ain't mad. For real. But one of the things that I understand in this process, man, is that, listen, it says, if you might be able to stay clean merely by making meetings. But if you want to experience recovery, you might want to take the steps. So somebody's saying, what steps? Well, let's start with the first one. You don't pick up, you don't get high. Ain't real hard. But you know, we're in real intellectual, and we're going to, you know, you just intellectualize your behind right on out the door. You know, trying to figure out why that works. I don't know why it works. I just know it do. And I'm like, look, you know, I love you, Dutch. I do. You know, because I didn't know I was going first. But Dutch told me I needed to get some stuff off my chest. You know, like he know my business. And he do. You know, let me tell y'all something. Narcotics Anonymous is the fastest means of communication in the world. I ain't been here half an hour, and everybody already know my business. So since you already know it, I ain't got to talk about it. But what I do want to talk about is how, you know, it talks about We Do Recover, and I want to thank this convention for inviting me to participate in my recovery. It is not a risk. I am not a risk today. You understand what I'm saying? I thank you for having this convention for the past 22 years, 14 of which I've been able to participate. And listen, one of the things I'm in touch with, and I say this and I tell my friends, listen, I don't get to do, you know, and my man's probably glad about this, I don't get to do conventions and all that. People don't call you. Listen, I was getting calls, and some of the people I know in here are from just traveling. And I don't get the phone calls as much as I used to because the drama has deceased in my life. Because when I was walking around being the relationships queen, and ever, you know, listen, if there was a relationships meeting, Sheila was there. I'm telling, if it even looked like it was a relationships topic, they was calling me. And let me, I thank God for all of the stuff that I went through in this process. Because it has allowed me to be the woman that I am today. See, I understand that sometimes you gotta go through some stuff to get through some stuff. But when you end the stuff, you want the stuff to stop. You know, God, right now, you know, because I don't think we got a problem with praying and you know, asking God for stuff. We just need to, when? When are you going to stop this? And he says, when you learn the lesson that I want you to learn in this, then I will stop this cycle that you're on. But until then, you will continue to do the same things over and over and over again. Expect, listen, and I'm telling you, long before that old crazy step working God came out, I was saying, listen, I was doing the same thing, wasn't even expecting different results, but figured I had gotten some steps I could handle it. Only to find myself in a crisis center because of attempted suicide in this process with steps, traveling, doing all that kind of stuff, understanding that my life is like a theater. Everybody don't deserve a front row seat. And my bad habit, like I'm the only one in here, I had a bad habit of allowing people to be in my life long after the expiration date. Lord, I couldn't figure out why I was getting sick. So I do stuff like, we got boundaries. I got boundaries. It sounds real good and cute in your step work to say you got boundaries. And you know, don't step. Then what happens when it becomes hard? I change the boundaries. Because then I don't want to make you live up to the boundaries. So what I do is I move the line. Because I can't even live up to the boundaries that I set for myself. But then I'm expecting you to. Listen. One of the things I understand, man, and I'm telling you, and I don't know, one of the things I'm real clear, and I told Judge, my intention is never to cause harm. But sometimes I believe that there's some things that are inevitable, that whether I try to cause harm or eliminate harm, it's just going to happen, and I don't have no control over it. But it's not a good feeling when you think you've hurt somebody. Especially when when you know you're trying to do the right thing for the right reason simply because it's the God thing to do. But see, some of us with the codependency and the enabling and the caretaking, we take on other people's issues and I make your hurt my hurt. Knowing that I'm doing the right thing, but I don't want you to be hurt, so I start feeling your hurt. Only to have to be told, even up till now, I have no control over how you feel. But you know, we want to be in control of everything and every, and I just listen, can't we just all get along? And when I do a serious 10th step and look at myself and say, God, listen, what part do I play in stuff in my life? And when I can honestly answer, yeah, I've not, listen, I have not walked this thing perfectly. I've tried. It don't work. Stop. My biggest defect of character is trying to be perfect, only to get blown away and find out that I'm not. So my life becomes a theater. So I don't get the phone calls as much. Because I was told early in recovery, seemed like, you know, when you got like some more spiritual stuff happening and you start drawing away from the drama. And listen, it ain't even necessarily all that. When the priorities in your life change, you understand? Because I believe too much is given, much is required. You know, the literature says in the Just for the Day meditation that if I'm still running the street, I'm going to all the conventions and I'm at all the speaker jams and I'm sharing all over the place and I'm sponsoring half of Philly, my daughters don't see how the program works. Because I'm still doing all this stuff in the name of NA. Listen, look, I'm saying it here first time on tape, by the tape, tell your friends I got a new man and I'm loving him like a fat boy love McDonald's. Listen, and that is not to say, listen, I needed to say that for me. I needed to say that for me, and I'm willing to make the changes in my life so that that relationship works. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, God, work it out. Look, let me tell you one of the things that I, and Dutch and I laughed about something, one of the things that I have watched being in here long enough is, why do I always end up on relationships? That ain't what I was going to say, but just tell me when to be quiet. Look, you know, I kind of ran around for a while saying, be careful what you say, right? Just be careful. I ain't going to get real spiritual about it. Just be careful what you put in the universe. I said, I do not want a man in Narcotics Anonymous because both of us don't need to have this disease. I've watched enough things happen in this fellowship where folks are married and their spouses are not members of this fellowship. And one member who is, the member that is, forgets that they're married to somebody else and not the fellowship. And then the relationship becomes an issue. But see, I'm here to tell you, if I never get another phone call, that I am not going to let anything mess up what I got right now. I ain't saying that for pomp and circumstance. I ain't saying that for your applause, because you need to understand that it's difficult sometimes. When you've been in this process here, don't mean I'm going to stop making meetings. Don't mean I'm going to stop being sponsored. But I need to prioritize my life, because when God start putting some other things in your life, you need to rearrange the furniture. Because I ran around for a long time talking about, oh, he going to just have to fit. He, I ain't doing this. If I got to rearrange the furniture, he ain't supposed to be there. No. All that burning the bra campaign and I was doing, no. Because if you want him in your life and he's worth anything, you'll rearrange the furniture a couple times. And I'm going to make the arrangements in my life so that it happens. And that means, look, it talks about in Weeds and Recovery that we need to face reality. And my reality is now that my life is changing. And I can't do what I used to do. It ain't okay to do what I used to do. I can't ask you to be committed to me, but I'm committed to something else. I believe in reciprocity. What you give out, you'll get back. I believe that. Look, let me just, I'm going to do this and just sit down and ask you to burn my portion of the tape. Look, I came here today, and one of my sponsees was bringing me to this convention. You know, we was going to do some step work. And she called me about 8:30 this morning and told me that she couldn't come. And my man had told me earlier in the week, you know, he's not a member of this fellowship. He said, listen, you know, because I'm trying to get him to understand and kind of see what this is about. And he said, well, listen, if something happens and she can't come, then I'll take you. And I said, okay. So quite naturally, when this happened, and because I gave Kelly my word, and I believe your word is your bond. And if you can't keep your word, you can't keep nothing. And so I said to him this morning, I said, listen, the girlfriend can't take me, yada, yada, yada. Would you take me? He said, yes. I said, okay. And I got here, and some things transpired in the atmosphere. And, yeah, I felt like I was caught in the middle, and I had to let go immediately. One of the things that I recognize is just because I've moved on, don't mean other folks have moved on. And I said that I told Dutch that I wasn't going to talk about it. But anybody who's ever listened to me know that I don't have the ability not to talk about what's going on with me. Because that's how I've stayed here in Leicester for 14 and a half years. Because the truth is, oh, it'll piss you off, but it'll set you free. And I was so concerned and said to Dutch, I'm telling you, I opened my mouth, Dutch said, I already know. And I said, just talk to me. Just talk to me. Because I don't know about nobody else. Listen, it's rolling. Look, if you ain't got trust, you ain't got nothing. If he can't trust me, we don't have anything. And it's real important that people trust me. I'm about what I say I'm about. Anybody who knows me knows infidelity has never been a part of my story. I am a one man's woman. Baby, I'm a ride or die kind of girl. I'm with you to the end. That's who I am. I don't know. Look, I ain't got enough sense, first enough to carry two men around in my mind. That's the honest of God truth. I'd be confused as hell. But let me tell you what I found out about friendship. That if you're somebody's friend, you need to be honest with them. And not be concerned about how they're going to take what you're going to say. So I'm able to look at the part that I play in my friendships. And one of the things that I'm in touch with, and I've done this over the past like maybe 6-7 months, is I've had to rearrange some folks in the theater in my life. And it talks about in We Do Recover, listen, complete abstinence in order to recover. It talks about surrendering. And I had this notion that I could still have some of the friends that I had before in the new season in my life. And I started to believe that I could take them along with me and they would see how God is working in my life and want some of what he has to offer. But what I understand is I'm powerless over what other people do. And sometimes the strongest message I can send is by letting you go as my friend too. So I had to stop doing, I was doing stuff like this. Everybody was on the front row. The balcony in the back of the theater was empty because I had everybody on the front row. Then it got to a point where my sponsor helped me with some stuff, and so I started shifting the front row around, and I started putting some of the people in the middle. Then it got to a point that some of the people in the middle I started putting in the back of the theater. Hear what I'm saying. We Do Recover talk about surrendering. In order for recovery to happen, you must first surrender. But I think I'm getting better. I ain't getting better. I'm just adjusting the situations in my life. I haven't surrendered to them. I haven't let go. Sponsor said, you can't let go and hold on at the same time. It don't work. How about stop changing people's seats and escort their ass out the theater? But it don't be because it's a bad thing. It's a part in the play, and my life is over right now. Look, I came into this process in a relationship with a married man, something I'm not proud of. And I learned that I didn't have to do that anymore. And a lot of that had to do with self-acceptance. Years. I got 14 and a half years. That's been probably about 20. And one of the things y'all taught me how to do, and I'm going to say this and sit down, because this is how this works in my life for me. I don't know how it works. I know I'm getting better. I know we get better. The literature says, listen, once an addict, always an addict, will no longer be accepted by society or the addict himself. You're not going to tell me I'm going to be the same girl I used to be. I don't care what you hear, what you see, or what you think. I know that God has changed me. Why? Because I don't want your man. I don't want your woman. I don't want to have nothing to do with no drama. Why? Because I'm doing the things that's required of me to do. Sometimes it don't feel good. But you know, addicts, we always want to feel good. Look, I got this crazy white woman sponsoring me in Virginia. She's crazy. Crazy. She's radical as hell. And I go down here because I'm spiritual. You know, she from Virginia, Philly. Do she know who I am? Yes. She said she knew and wasn't impressed, right? So I go down there to do a third step. And you know, I'm a little challenged. I know you probably can't tell. And she gets out the crayons and stuff and start coloring. I did not drive down 95. To play locker room with you and had me choking on cigarettes. So what happens is she gets to drawing some stuff because we done did some of my fourth step before and now we're on this third step. And she makes an 8-slice pie and she draws in 7 of the 8 slices. And she said, your life is spiritually crazy because you refuse to give God that 1 slice of the pie. You're looking at the other 7 slices you got them. The literature says, listen, we look at the stopping and not the using. The literature We Do Recovery says, listen, as newcomers, we have a tendency to look at the differences and not the similarities. She said, when you surrender and give God the whole pie and truly do a third step, not that old Philadelphia watered down shot that you came down here with, but when you really ready to do something, holler at a sister. I got on 95. This bitch know who I'm talking to. Yes, she know who she's talking to. She ain't impressed. She told you. Literally escorted me out to 95 after that. She said, we're going to do another third step. You come back with a full pie at that time and we'll give it to God. I love my sponsor. Because of her, I learned how to turn over the whole pie. Has it been easy? No. But let me tell you about the hope. Because there's hope. As crazy as I felt a few minutes ago, God is who he is. Now listen, I'm not going to apologize for saying God. If you have a problem with God, what we say in the literature is that what we refer to in here when you hear God is a power greater than ourselves that makes possible what would otherwise be impossible. We Do Recovery talks about this is not a religious program. It is a spiritual program that this person here works religiously. Because I come to understand that it wasn't y'all when I was messed up that helped me. Because I have spent some nights, man, where I didn't want to call my sponsor, and I didn't want to open no darn book, and I didn't want to talk to no sponsee, and I didn't want to think about no step work. I was, God help me not to be who I used to be in recovery. See, we can have an active addiction in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I've been that girl, obsessed and compulsive without the use of drugs. I can't figure out why I'm so spiritually messed up. Literature says, listen, the solution is spiritual. If it ain't spiritual, it ain't practical, and it ain't going to work. So the joys have been, because it's been a while since I've been to Jersey. I know we're getting better. I was a crack addict. I am not a crack addict. I don't have a problem with drugs. I got a problem with Sheila. I only have a problem with drugs when I pick them up. Do you understand? I'm not scared of that, and I'm not going to apologize for that. But through the grace of God and this fellowship, I am not who I used to be. That's why I know We Do Recover. I don't mess with other people's husbands. I don't mess with other people's men. I don't mess with other people's women. I don't take other people's money. I do what I need to do for my daughters. Some people here know me very well. My daughters are everything to me. Those are the kids I left in the house. I didn't do nothing to y'all. It was their Christmas toys that I stole. It was their money that I took. It was them that I left in the house and prayed the fire department wasn't in front of my door when I got home from copping. It was them that I sent into the Chinese restaurant to get lemon heads while I'm outside. It was them that I didn't pick up from school because I couldn't get off the crate because that thing said don't leave. It was them I couldn't feed because when I went to go buy the food, I had to sell the food because the thing said get mine. Look, wait 2 weeks to get food stamps and the check. It's gone in a day and you got 13 more days to live through that thing. See, those are the children that live in my house now. Those are the kids, man, who love me. My oldest daughter, who had to raise my youngest daughter and me in my active drug addiction, is getting married September 1st. Listen to me. Look, y'all ain't got the point. I'm happy as hell she moving. You know, boo, them his people, you know, my man love my kids, but I'm like, woo, I'm going to miss my grandson, but listen to me. I can't wait to be able to put something down and be the same place I left it when I go back. I can't wait for my gas bill, electric bill, and all the rest of utility bills to go down a little bit. I can't wait to go use the dryer, and ain't nobody else's clothes in there but mine. But I say this because this is how this shows up in my life, that some of y'all have followed me through this process, and I have dragged y'all through my relationship struggles, and I have dragged y'all through my crying, and I have dragged y'all through my craziness. But let me tell you something. This sister here is living happy, joyous, and free. Because one of the things that I've come to understand is you can't make me happy. I have stopped looking for things and people outside of me to validate who I am. I was already happy when he showed up. He just enhances it and brings me joy. Trust that. And it has nothing to do with being cocky and all that, because what I learned in this process is every time I look for something outside of me to make me happy, because happiness is subjective to what's going on at the moment. But I need to be okay when stuff is crazy. And I need, listen to me, look, I wanted somebody who would love me. Dutch said something to me. He said, does he love your junk? I said, he appreciates. He said, no, there's a difference between appreciation and love. Does he love your junk? Because to love me is to love my junk. It's to love my past. Because my past informs you of who I am, not define who I am. Sometimes you need to know stuff about where I came from to find out where I'm going with you. You need to know how I'm living now before you let me come live in your house. You need to find out if I can pay bills before you give me your checkbook. Listen, those are the things I learned in here. I learned in here that I needed to be true to myself. Yeah, I'd miss him if he left. I'd be a crying ass. Excuse me, I'd be crying a lot. That would be a whole nother convention. But I'ma say this for real and close that. I'ma say this publicly, and I don't know, Dutch, if I'm out of line. Any of that. Baby, I love you. I love you. I met this man and he said to me, I don't care nothing about where you came from. I don't care nothing about the fact that you smoke crack. All I want to know is, can I go with you into your future? I was like, damn! And I have to believe, and I gotta believe, that no matter what happens here today, that when I walk out of this hotel, that still stands. And if it doesn't, I have to believe that he wasn't meant to be there. Because God is not an Indian giver. God is not going to give me something and then take it back. I just believe that. So if I can't trust people, I trust God. So I'm celebrating. My oldest daughter is getting married September 1st. We went to a country club today for the reception. Listen, upgrade you, upgrade you. You know, not a little community center joint, not one of them house things. God is, look, a private country club. I was like, damn. God has been good to us. When you stay clean, not only do you get a raise, but everybody around you get a raise. Because when you living good, everybody around you, because we have a family disease, and it affects and infects everything and everybody I come in contact with. So I was happy to be able to take my daughter there today. And she's getting married, and she's doing it the right way. She lives at home. He lives at home. Yes, I got a grandson, but you can always start over. My youngest daughter will be going off to college August 21st. I just graduated from an Ivy League school with a 3.8 GPA. We do recover. I'll leave all that spiritual stuff for Dutch to talk about. With 31 years, he can be spiritual. I got 14. I can get away with saying almost anything when I'm with Dutch. Huh? 34 years. Oh, excuse me. That's 3 more years he get to be spiritual than I do. Through God's grace and mercy, come September, I will start grad school. That's something I thought would never happen. And guess what? Ain't got to pay for none of it. Because listen, recovery is about getting back those things that you once lost. I just believe that when you stay in the will of God, and even when you're not, he's so merciful that he'll drag your little crazy behind on anyway. Come on here, fool. Let me show you my love. Let me show you my power. Let me show you my grace. We can recover. Thanks.